things. First and foremost, I only come somewhere for one of two reasons, to shut it down or stir it up. It's the only reason I ever go anywhere. I'm either supposed to shut the doors, put locks on it, close it up, or fire it up, stir it up, and make it wild. Well, I want you to catch a secret this morning. Four people from other cities painted the sign yesterday on the outside of this building. Okay? Three of them highly prophetic people, and two pastors. That's kind of a hint that you're not being shut down. That's kind of a hint that God would bring so many prophetic giftings from out of town. My husband David, my best friend Linnea, my new friend Devana, and I, out of the three of us, David's a pastor and the rest of us are prophets. Prophetic people painting the words Tree of Life on the outside of this building. And I was compelled. Pastor Ted kept saying, you've made your heart known. You don't have to do it. I'm like, we got to do it. Well, you know, if the weather holds, and he's so generous and so gracious, and so, finally Devana goes, where's my brush? I'm like, yes. And so as we're out there painting, David took a photo of us, and if you don't look at the chair Ted's standing on, he looks like he's hovering in the spirit to paint the high parts of the words. And I'm like, how perfect is this picture? And we're all lined up painting on the side of this building. And it's like God is saying something here by bringing us from the outside in to reestablish the foundation in this place, to reestablish the proclamation of this body of believers, to reignite what God wants to do here. So whatever your history, your past, your feelings, your concerns, your cares, whatever they were, let them be past. Let him be history, and let's move on into the future of what God really wants to do in this region, in this community, and in this believing body of really, you have no idea how much you can do until you try to do it. And then you realize how little is really trying to stop you. I don't know if you understand this about demonic entities. They have the ability to puff themselves up like balloons, and so what's really this big looks this big. And we get scared by the size. Well, if you're intimidated by the size, close your eyes. You don't have to look. And just go, you have no authority here. Be gone. But what we do is we go, wow, I'm so scared. And then we start warring against it, and they just puff up bigger because they react on your fear and your emotion. Well, I don't want to give them any opportunity to have anything, so I don't give them any time. I don't give them any attention at all. You have no authority here. If I don't give them authority to afflict my life, they cannot take authority because they have no authority. Jesus has already taken it from them. Just a few little secrets. So just in case you're wondering, we're going to survive. Actually, we're going to thrive. And we are going to, rise up and be quite large in this valley, in this region, in the part of this state. And this is going to be a kind of like a bank in the best possible, don't think of banks as banks in a political sense in our country. Kind of like a spiritual storehouse or bank of resources, of giftings, of peoples who have committed their lives, given their lives to the Lord wholeheartedly. And this is going to be a vault where God keeps those giftings. And when there's a need someplace in the world, he's going to go, oh, I can take from Tree of Life and I can send them over there. And they can transplant, they can graft the root of what God has put here into that nation. So some of you need to do, and you need to hear me, you need to get your passports. Some of you need to divest yourselves of things. Some of you need to let go of preconceived ideas and get ready to live on foreign soil. Some of you need to be the next sowing from this church that will go into another place. And don't worry, if you don't have a heart to go, you're not the one to go. And you'll know when it's you and you'll know when it's not. And some of you are going to be like investment people. You're going to go to another nation and you're going to sow into that nation in a short way, in a small time frame. But you're going to be the one that will say, this is how you do this. You're going to turn it on. This is how you do this. This is how you do this. And you'll just be the person that turns the key for their process to work efficiently, properly, humbly. So I'm telling you, I like painting, but I was compelled, and I'm so glad that Devonna said, where's my brush, or I would have had to just wrestle Ted to the ground and say, give me my paint and brush now. You know, so she was so very gentle with him, you know, and we were compelled to do it because God was saying, no, this is not a fading. This is, now we're through the transition, and now the bright lights are going to be turned on, turned on, turned on. So just find out where you are in the switch process, you know, where you are. Are you the switch? Are you the connectors and the electricity? Are you the bulb? What part do you play? And then play it with all your might. Because God didn't stutter when he did it. We were compelled to come. We were compelled to put our hand to the building on purpose. Okay. Wow. That is very cool. Isaiah 42:5 says, this is what the true God, the Lord, says, the one who created the sky and stretched it out, the one who fashioned the earth and everything that lives in it, the one who gives breath to the people on it and the life of those who live on it. This is that, that's his title. Okay, wasn't that cool? Good entrance, you know? You know, like Dr. So-and-so, well, this is what the true God, the Lord, says. The one who created, this is his title, the one who created the sky and stretched it out, the one who fashioned the earth and everything that lives on it, the one who gives breath to the people on it and life to those who live on it. This is what he says. I, the Lord, and some of you just need to hear this and let God write it on the tablet of your heart today. I, the Lord, officially commission you. I take hold of your hand. I protect you. I make you a covenant mediator for the people and a light to the nations. To open blind eyes, to release prisoners from dungeons, those who live in darkness from prisons. I, the Lord, officially commission you today. Scripture reveals that we now see. What we now see did not come from anything that had been or could be seen before. Okay? So what we see from this moment on, in this place, in this valley, in this region, has not been visible before. Yes, here. Yes, okay? What we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. God has just imparted it to you today. What are you going to do with it? What can you do with it? What would you like to do with it? The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory, the God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. Psalm 29, 3 and 4 and verse 8. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. You're 93% water, just in case you didn't know. The voice of the Lord is over you, at least 93% of you, the part that's not dust. Okay? The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord shakes in the wilderness. Why do you think God shakes in the wilderness? It's just a curiosity, isn't it? I'll show you. Pretend I'm in the wilderness. Okay? It's easier if people aren't around going, what? It's easier to experience the intensity of the voice of the Lord by yourself so that you don't have to try and define it and explain it in public. You know, if you're in Fred Meyer and that's happening, they're going to call paramedics because, oh my God, she's having a seizure. No, it's just God. Sometimes it's good to read scripture and ask why. When you're in the wilderness, the distractions aren't people with faces that can sway you. It's easier to hear God when you're by yourself. I had to ask David a while back when he came off the road, and I said, honey, can you just give me an hour a day? Just 1 hour where you're not in. We live in a really small house. Our house is really small. I said, can you just give me an hour a day where I'm in the house by myself, not because I don't love you, not because you're pestering me, not because we don't get along, but because I can't hear God the way I need to hear him, and your schedule will allow you to just step out for an hour. So can you just go to the library for an hour and give me an hour? And the minute, he said, sure, of course. The minute he shut the door, God spoke. And it wasn't that he was hindering me. It was that he's my husband. My first course in relationship is to help him first. As his wife, I'm always going to look for his needs. How can I strengthen him? How can I support him? Would you like a cup of coffee, honey? That's my call as his wife. And the minute he stepped out to go, he actually went to a restaurant and had a cup of coffee. The minute he stepped out, God spoke. And I was like, okay. Okay, so now we do that. He gives me an hour every day where when he's working from home now, he'll just step out and it's my hour. And it doesn't matter where I am in the house. The minute I can tell when he shuts the door, God's here. And it's just because God's not going to infringe on my relationship with my husband to do for him what is my desire as his wife to do. And so now I also go, well, honey, do you need me to step out? No, you don't bother me at all. You don't infringe on. In fact, I hear God better when you're in the house. Okay, cool. I'll sit closer. And sometimes you just have to learn what works for you. What works with you? How can you work together? The Lord, your God, is with you. He's mighty to save. He'll take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. In Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord, your God. I know he's my God. But I'm telling you, the Lord, your God, is with you this day, today, right now. He's mighty to save. You need saving from a circumstance? Need saving from discouragement? How about saving from fear of finances? How about fear of lack? You need saving from that today? He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. When will he do that? When you step out in faith. It's always going to take a step on our part. Not that he doesn't delight in us when we sit still. But as the word of God is sown, seeded into us, as it starts to take root and bubble in us, something starts going, I should do something with this. Maybe I should do something with this. And the minute you step out on faith to, maybe you're going to study a language that you've never studied before. Maybe you're going to step out in faith and you're going to pray for somebody who's been on your heart. Maybe you're going to make a phone call to somebody that you're not real comfortable calling them because you've never done this before. But the minute you step out, something in you stepped out in faith in God's eyesight. And he takes delight in that step. It doesn't have to be a giant leap. It's just a step. Just one step. It doesn't have to be anybody else's length of stride. It's your stride. But when you step out in faith, he takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. You want to know a curiosity of our society? We're a nation of doers and we don't know how to be quiet. The minute we try to be quiet, something in our voice rages. And it can actually rage, quoting scriptures to you when you don't need to hear them. When don't you need to hear scripture? Well, you don't need to hear about all the doing scriptures when you're trying to be quiet. You need to hear peace scriptures. And when things are... Do you guys have this thing that kind of comes through your mind and it disturbs what you were doing? Like the minute you get down, you sit down to pray, you think of 27 things you have to do today before noon. Have you had that happen? That's called a voice of doing. Everybody has it. It's a terrible voice because it seems to be loudest the moment you sit down to pray. Well, God will quiet you with his love. So what I've begun to do, whether David's off for our hour or whether he's home, I now ask the Lord, I climb up in his lap and I ask him, can I talk to you? And he immediately says, sure, honey. And when he says, sure, honey, his love has invaded my thinking and already started to do the work that I came for in me. His love, he'll quiet you with his love. And he will rejoice over you with singing. We don't understand the level of rejoicing. We don't understand heaven's music. But I'm going to tell you, the day my mom passed away, she passed away 35 years ago. And I had just prayed with her 5 hours before she passed away that she would receive Jesus. And she passed away on New Year's Eve, and I was part of a group of choir members in our church. It was a church of about 500. And we had a huge prayer meeting that night, New Year's Eve, to pray in the new year. And my mom had just passed, about 5 o'clock in the evening. And I went home and I was sad and I was crying. And I said, David, does my mom miss me? And he said, why would she? She's in glory. Everyone who's gone to heaven before her is greeting her. She's seeing everybody she's missed. She isn't even thinking about any of us. And I was like, oh, David, I'm so mad at you. And he said, but it's the truth. And I went, you're absolutely right. Let's go to church. And as we stood in a circle and started to pray and sing concerning the new year coming, and we all were holding hands, I heard my mom, who was a singer as a young woman, I heard her standing behind me singing. And I literally did this to see where she was. And she wasn't there physically, but I could hear her voice. And at that moment, when I knew it was her voice and I remembered, wait, she just left, I heard heaven music. But it was an octave higher than what I've ever heard anybody sing. And to me, the entire rest of that celebration to pray in the new year, every song that was sung was in heavenly octaves. And I was like, wow, God, why? And he said, well, my ways are higher than yours. Got it. Okay. So it's another hint, another secret, to let God lift you up out of regular circumstances into just a higher way of viewing what's really going on with you. We have the mind of Christ. What do we do with it? What do we do with it? What are we going to do with the mind of Christ we've been given? First, you should figure out how it works. It's the mind of Christ. He doesn't bail when things get tough. When I'm weak, he carries me, okay? That's a mindful thought. That's something to keep in my present thinking. God is love. It doesn't say he loves us just because he has love. He is love itself. He's love personified. Okay, there's a thought to be thinking. The mind of Christ is going to be motivated by love, not mine. God is love, so the Jesus in me, the Christ in me, is going to motivate my thinking process. And then what am I going to do? I'm asking all the time, what do I do with this? I don't even know what I think. So when I'm confronted with a situation that goes, oh, I don't know, I always go, God, what do you think? And since you know everything, I'm going to agree with whatever you think. It's not that I quit thinking, but I've quit thinking. Okay? It's not like I all of a sudden become deaf and mute. I just quit forming opinions about life circumstances. I have no opinion. What I will immediately always do is go, Father, what do you think? Oh, okay, that's what I think. What do you want to do? Well, then that's what I want to do. It doesn't take a long time to get an answer. How do you get an answer? First and foremost, God is not going to deal with any situation with hurt feelings because he doesn't have any. Did you hear me? God is not going to respond in any given situation with hurt feelings because he doesn't have any. He is love. Love covers all sin. He's not offended. He doesn't lack faith. He's not worried. So he's not ever going to respond or want me to respond with my feelings on my sleeve being bruised and battered because he's love. So his love is going to find a lovely way to deal with everything. What's that going to require of me? Oh. Humility, obedience, courage, boldness, transparency. Oh my gosh. It requires me to be love. Not to walk in love, not to act lovely, but to be love. So then if I get hurt feelings, what do I do with them? Well, first and foremost, they don't belong to me. I'm me and God, I'm with God. So instantly, if my feelings get hurt, I'm with him. Father, what do you think about this? And you know what he almost always says? They don't even know they did it. And then I remember my big brother, Jesus, on the cross saying, forgive them, Lord, they don't know what they're doing. I'm like, you're right, they don't know. They don't know. Okay, so then I don't have to try and forgive. Forgiveness is an automatic response to the love that I am becoming. Then forgiveness isn't hard. What about forgetting about, ouch? Well, God forgives as far as the east is from the west. And I've shared this before. Do you want to know why he didn't say, I forgive as far as the north is from the south? If you go north on the globe, eventually you'll go south. Correct? Yes. But if you go east, you'll never go west. You will forever go east. So when God forgives, he forgets as far as the east is from the west. They never intercept each other. So the moment I feel love for something, someone, some situation that has hindered me in my understanding or in my opinion or in my thoughts, the moment I forgive, it's gone. If it tries to come back, I have to look at my thoughts and go, you don't have any place here. Sorry, don't know you. If you're offense, if you're a thought of offense, I don't own you. You don't belong to me. You can't be here. The mind of Christ does not take offense because it operates in love. Why am I telling you this today? Because we lit the side of the building yesterday. That gifting of pastoral and prophetic anointing put something into the building as we painted it yesterday, as a sign and a symbol of what this valley will become. And we're all a part of it. So I'm asking God, what next? And I'm going to reveal what I shared on Friday about our brain, okay? For those who weren't here Friday, because you need to understand how wonderfully made you are and how God really has placed in you the divine provision to accomplish everything that's in your heart from him to do. First and foremost, the quantity of information, quantity being amount, the amount of information processed in your body. Everybody come with a body this morning? You got it? Okay. The amount of information processed in your body in the course of one day is a million times greater than all the knowledge represented in all the books in every library in the world. The amount of information processed in your body in the course of one day, your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, your brain, everything, without you having a conscious thought, just the information coursing through you in one day is 1 million times greater than all the knowledge represented in all the books and all the libraries in all the world. Do you understand how greatly you are made? Do you understand the beginning divine provision of what God has placed in your life? Can you possibly imagine how much you can accomplish with your life if you will do it by him, by his grace, in his timing? Do you know that the desires of things that you want to do to better the earth are given to you from God? Do you want to know why those passions? I just got to learn how to do this. I just have to learn how to paint. I just have to learn how to sing. I just have to learn how to do this. When those passions drive you, do you want to know where they come from? They come from God. That's why you can't turn them off. That's why they come at random times all the time and they don't go away. God's trying to get your attention. Learn this from me. Learn the music you're listening to and the song Capture Me. They're written and played by a mother-daughter duo, friends of ours outside Seattle. The mother had some official training. The daughter had 4 weeks of piano lessons. And God has taught them everything else. So all the music that you're hearing and the song that Tricia was singing, Capture Me, she was playing the music on that one. And that was all spirit-led in their living room. So even all the extras of all the instruments put in, they did that. And the mom had like a year and a half of music and the daughter had 4 weeks. And this comes from them allowing themselves to believe that the passion for music is in their lives by God, that he put the passion there, and the faith and the courage that they take to walk it out. is what you hear. And I'm telling you that because this music, the pastors here have copied some of this music on CDs. And if you want it, you can just ask them, because these women have offered this music for free to anybody who wants it. And so you can burn CDs and share this life-giving music with other people. They don't take any royalties from it, because they believe that God gave it to them, so they should give it to the world. When I listen to it, it ministers to me, but I also remember the great leap of faith that these women have done to do this and not ask for anything in return. That's going to change the course of our thinking. To give so liberally, so freely of the gift that God put in you. How are they going to be supported? I don't know, but I know that I'm going to be part of it. Because when I hear them worship and I hear them sing and I hear them play, I know that the Holy Spirit has trained them and taught them. Why am I telling you that? Because you have grassroots core giftings in you, and you've thought that you can't do anything with them because they're so rough. Well, that's what these ladies feel about themselves. We can't do anything with it because we're so rough. And I'm like, really? Do you know the definition of rough? You're never going to see yourself the way God sees you, so you should just quit looking and start viewing yourself from His perspective. Start viewing yourself, start seeing yourself as He sees you. And I'm going to be really bold here, and I hope you won't mind, but Pastor, I'm speaking to you, Pastor. You're a pastor to me. Pastor, please, trust the Holy Spirit in you. Please, rise up on behalf of all of us. Pastor, please take your God-given position in the earth, because we need what you have. We need what you have. Can I have your hand? If you could just administrate my life or reformat the way I think, I would be between 10 and 100 times more accomplished in my daily life. The discipline and the order that you see is so phenomenal. And I'm going to ask the Lord to show you how to delegate it with grace, because nobody's going to see it in the defined way that you see it. And you can't make people walk that fine line that you see. But you can sow it into their lives by you walking it out. And as you walk that discipline and that order and that process of how you think and how you see and how you observe, they'll follow. But they can't walk right with you, because it's way beyond what they see at this time. But if you'll walk it out, they'll follow. They'll follow. You have an extreme gift that needs to be in the earth. But you gotta learn to relax with it. Because God's timing is perfect. So when you learn to relax, we can learn to receive and follow. Okay? You're a powerful leader. But a powerful leader doesn't need any weaponry. He just needs to stand up and people go, oh, he's up. Here we go. He's up. We're ready. You don't even need to say anything. Just stand. Poise yourself in the Spirit and people will stand. Hallelujah. 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 The things that have hindered you in the past are not going to have any authority in your future, if you're going to be willing to let them go. If you're willing to let them go. Okay, here's another secret. if I have somebody minister to me and I get delivered from the thing that has hindered me, if I don't learn how to live a new way, I'm going to fall right back into it. Okay? Pastor, if you don't learn, if you don't fill your heart with the pastoral gift that you have and allow yourself to really walk it out, you're going to fall back into doubt. And you're going to think, that's not for me, that's for somebody else. I don't feel like a pastor. I'm going to tell you, no pastor feels like a pastor. None feel like what they are. But as you allow yourself to learn how to walk in that anointing, then that doubt and that discouragement can't come back in. The holy boldness that you need, the entrance and opportunity that you need, the healing that you need, the support and recognition that you need, the wealth that you need, the discernment, the discipline, the order that you need, all these things will come. You have a business of some sort or had a business of some sort, and I'm just asking the Lord to... This is a very spiritual word. I'm going to tweak it in you so that it can come to a fuller positioning. Almost done. And the people that were supposed to walk with you in it, that were going to be support system to you, don't worry. Don't worry. We're just going to tweak it and bring it back to its full place, full positioning. New laborers are going to come. New workers are going to come, and they're really going to have a heart for you. They're going to really have a heart for you. They're not going to be greedy, okay? Not that everybody means to be greedy, but greedy kind of sneaks in sometimes when we see a good idea. So I'll forgive them. So when God does a thing in us and there is a new liberty, and I'm going to say this as specific as I can. Learn to allow that new liberty to spread across all of your heart and understanding. And ask the Lord, fill that place in me where this thing used to be with your presence. Because if you don't, for a few weeks you'll be on a good high, you'll feel good, it'll work great, and then you'll fall flat on your face. And you won't know how to recover, and we'll have to go through it all over again. Because we haven't taught ourselves how to walk in the new thing God has done in us. Okay? So for that new thing to really take root, ask the Lord to fill that place in your heart where the old thing used to be. You want to know how I quit doing drugs? I got saved. I didn't know how to not do drugs. I asked God, could you fill that place in my heart where drugs used to be? Boom, done. So if God didn't do drugs, and he didn't, and I now don't do drugs and I don't, then how should I perceive things? How should I walk? How should I hear? How should I do? And then if I don't hear from him, I don't do it. If I don't hear from him, I don't think it. Sometimes we need to turn off raging thoughts. If it doesn't sound like God, don't allow it to stay there and hope that it just unwinds itself. You don't need that. I love people, but not with my love, with God's love. Because if it was just me, Brenda, the Brenda that you've never met, and you really want to thank God you've never met her, if I had to love people with that love, I would have been arrested for tearing up trees in the city of Minneapolis. In my anger, I would never have gotten this far. I wouldn't have lived this long. Thankfully, I love people with God's love. I love them with his love. But there are times when people will be talking to me and they'll start going down a negative rabbit trail. And I've learned this really cool gift. Oh, Haven't heard a word. I have not heard a word. And I've had to have David teach me how to go, and not agree to do anything for them. And so I have this, you know, this steel door that when I'm going, if they're asking for a commitment from me to agree with them or pray with them or do something, the steel door goes, boom, and I go, oh, well, I have to go now, but thank you for sharing that, and I'm gone. And I haven't heard a word they said. Do you want to know why? I'm not being rude. I can't allow that negative destruction any place in me, in my mind, in my thinking. If it's negative, it ain't God. Because He is life. He is love. He's going to approach it from a positive perspective. He's going to speak life at every opportunity. Every negative situation has a positive way to deal with it. And all we have to do is learn what that is and how do we do it for ourselves. How do we do it our way? You can't do your life my way. And you're really going to thank God that you can't. But you can do it your way. So if you're hit with a negative something or someone or some thought, you can go down that path and hope that it wears itself out. But it could last your entire life. Or you could just ask God, what do you think? I think that too. How do you know it's God? It'll be life. It'll bring strength. It'll speak courage. It'll ask you to humble yourself. It'll be positive. And you'll want to do it, even if you don't know how. And God will take delight in you as you step out to do it in courage. And He'll support you, and He'll show you the way. In everything. So the awesomeness of how we are. And I'm telling you this so you'll know when you leave here today that you will be able to do everything God's asked you to do if you'll take time and ask Him, how should you do it? The brain. Altogether, the total number of connections in the human brain. You know your brain. Medical practitioners call it gray matter. The number of connectors in your brain approaches 1,000,000,000,000 connections in your brain. Basic wiring, okay? 1,000,000,000,000 connections are in you right now. Can you understand 1,000,000,000,000? It looks like this. 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, zeros. That's 1,000,000,000,000. And if you can't comprehend that number, here's the illustration. If you took half of the size of the United States, 1,000,000 square miles, and you covered it in a forest containing 10,000 trees per square mile, and if each tree contained 100,000 leaves, the total number of leaves in that half of the country would be 1,000,000,000,000. And that's how many connections in your brain you have. And when Scripture says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, it means it. So then you add to that, I have the mind of Christ. What does that do? It empowers all those connectors to work like God's thinking works. How do we operate as regular folks? Really smallly. Our human understanding can only take in one facet or one perspective of life as we're living it. And God wants us to start expanding our perception into multifaceted life as we live it. So I can see what I might think. I can see how it affects you. I can see how it affects your family. I can see how it affects your community. I can see how it affects the earth. And then I can see what's my portion. What am I required to give? What is God asking me to do? How am I going to walk it out? And then again, I can see what I'm going to do with you. I can see how it's going to affect your life. I can see how it's going to affect your family, how it's going to affect your community, and how it's going to affect the world. That's multifaceted seeing. And you can do it all day long, every day of your life. But to do it, you have to be willing to get out of your regular thinking. Are you saying I think small? Yeah. I'm actually saying you think really small. Because you're supposed to be prospering as your soul prospers, and in health as your soul prospers. So we're supposed to be big time movers and shakers in the earth. How do we do that? We don't have that big time bank account yet. You start acting like what you're going to be as it fills up. You posture yourself in the spirit as an ambassador of the living God. That means you don't walk around hunched, because that's a victim. But you poise yourself in the spirit, posture yourself as gracious and merciful and loving and compassionate, full of wisdom, full of authority. First and foremost, you stand. And you need to remember, when you reach out your hand to somebody, that Jesus in you is about to touch their eternal course. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay, here we go. And when you say, "How are you?" you're really saying, Jesus is going to take you anywhere you'd like to go. Yes. Are you ready? How are you? And I'm not always in a hurry to let go, because I sometimes want to feel how deep that healing's going to hit. And I do this. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I'm just waiting for the Lord to go, okay, okay. Almost, almost. Okay, you can let it go. Okay, hallelujah. Every time you greet somebody. Yep. Have you ever, David and I were at some outdoor something. I don't even remember what state it was in. It was in this country. And it was a Christian outdoor something, like a Christian concert or something, but it was on a hillside. And it was summer. I know that because it was kind of greenish type grass, not totally green, so I don't know where it was really at. And everybody I saw that day, I was compelled to tackle them to the ground instead of saying hi and giving them a hug. And I'm not saying you all should do this. In fact, you should not do this. Do not do this to pastor or pastor or pastor. Do not do this. But I was compelled to tackle them. And so it was like I would see them light up. And there were like, 1,200, 1,400 people there on this hillside. And I would see one person and I'd just watch them. And when they almost were sitting down, I'd start running. And they would just barely sit down. And here I am, full bore, down the hillside and dive on them. Hi, how are you? I've really missed you. Oh, Jesus is Lord. I just felt you needed a tackle from God. And they'd get up and they'd, pull the hair out of their, the grass out of their hair, and okay. And I'd just stay there long enough smiling, making sure I hadn't broken any bones. And they go, okay. And I'd stand up and I'd look and there'd be another one. And I'd watch the light on that person. And it was like a hawk looking for a mouse. And I'd just watch them. And sometimes they'd wander and I'd be going, hurry up and sit, hurry up and sit. And I'm in front of people. I'm in the middle of the crowd. I'm on the hillside, and I would literally walk up the hill not knowing where I was walking. until the next lit up person sat. And then I would take a run, I'd run full bore, and I'd dive on them. Hi! Wow! Jesus loves you so much. And then I go, oh, I'm sitting on you, sorry. Okay, I'll help you get up. Are you good? These weren't people I knew. Two I knew. I dived on five or six. I dove on five or six. Two I knew, kind of a little bit. And they all had the same look on their face of, and then they'd all kind of sit up and I'd help them up and they'd pull the grass out of their hair and get the leaves out of their clothing and they'd just sit there. And so David is a very gracious man. I eventually found him and he's just like, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Oh God, oh God, oh God. And I never asked him, what are you praying, honey? Because I just could hear, oh God, don't let her break anybody's bones. Oh God, we can't afford a lawsuit. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Could you just bring her in a little bit? Could she just hug him maybe? Oh, you know, and that was my imagination, and he never said, and I never asked. So when David's going, oh God, oh God, oh God, you know something's up. So then, I don't remember the rest of what was going on, the concert or the preaching or the meeting. But at the end of it, as we're walking down the hillside toward our car, every one of those people found me. So I must have had a light on me because there were a lot of people there. And God was so merciful, they didn't tackle me, though I would have deserved it. But every one of them said, you have no idea what you've done. And I said, well, sort of. And they said, I've been wrestling with God. I've been looking for an answer, and he kept telling me I had it, and I didn't think I did, and I've been looking, and I've been wrestling, and I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what to think, and the moment you tackled me, God said, aha, I've got you. And everything in me that I was worried about and trying to hold on to left. And when I sat up, it was like the first time I've ever seen clarity in my life. Every single one of them had the same reaction, the same response. And if you had told me as a beginning person in ministry that I was going to go tackle real life believers with my body in the name of Jesus, I would have thought you wanted me in prison. Because people just don't do that. But they did. It was me. I did. But the effect it had changed their forward momentum, changed their course, changed their perspective. Why am I telling you that? And I do want you to remember, I said, don't tackle the pastors. But in Isaiah 55, 12, it says, you shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into singing before you. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. The earth is waiting for you and I to rise up and walk in what God has given each one of us. Rise up and be yourself in Christ. And as you walk out, there will be rejoicing and joy preceding your footsteps. In Psalm 148, it says, praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all the armies of heaven. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you twinkling stars. I got to go back and tell you about stars just real quickly. There are between 150 and 200 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. And there are an estimated 150 billion galaxies in our universe. And some of them have more than 5 trillion stars each. And this is the only one we know about at this time. Don't you think that's cool? And God has given us authority in this place. With all that He's created, He's entrusted it to us. Praise Him, all you twinkling stars. Praise Him, skies above. Praise Him, vapors high above the clouds. Let every created thing give praise to the Lord, for He issued His command, and they came into being. He established them forever and forever. His orders will never be revoked. His word over you will never be apologized for. He's not going to take it back because He didn't stutter. He didn't make a mistake. It's for real. I want you to hear that. His orders will never be revoked. Praise the Lord from the earth, you creatures of the ocean depths, fire and hail, snow and storm, wind and weather that obey Him, mountains and all hills, fruit trees. Hello. Isn't this a fruitful valley? If you're having a problem with your trees, talk to them. They'll obey the word of the Lord. Need a bigger harvest? Ask Him what to do. They'll obey the word of the Lord. Fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all livestock, reptiles and birds, kings of the earth and all people, rulers and judges of the earth, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven. This isn't an option. It is a commandment. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be just a regular Christian. I don't know if you noticed that about me at all. But I want to be able to walk and hear the earth singing in glorious praise to my God as I walk. I want to walk so intimately with my God that as I'm hearing the praise of the earth, I've just got to join in because He's worthy of praise. But I want to walk with Him so closely that all of a sudden, I'm not feeling the ground beneath my feet. All of a sudden, I'm feeling the glory of the Lord encompassing me. And no matter what's going on, I know I'm good because I'm with Him. I know that I'm secure because I'm with Him. I know it'll be fine because I'm with Him. And pretty soon, we're all going to be walking that level together. And we're going to see the joy of the Lord begin to overtake us where we live, where we move, where we have our being, where we work, where we reside, where we study, where we give, where we teach, where we drive, where we labor. And pretty soon, we're going to realize we're all walking above circumstances. And when people say, well, how are you? You're going to have to say, I'm great. Well, what about so-and-so? I'm great. Well, what about thus and so? I'm great. Well, what about this and that? What about that downturn in the economy? I'm great. How is that possible? I don't know. It just didn't affect me at all. How is that possible? I guess because I live and move and have my being in my God. Our economy doesn't affect His plan at all. It's kind of like the children of Israel having to make bricks without straw. They'd never done it before, but I guess they could because they did. And then when He delivered them, it became a show and a testimony and an example. And He'll deliver you as well. It's time for us to seat ourselves in the earth next to the Lord, next to Him. I will share my place on Father's lap with you. For a limited time only, because I'm really, really selfish with Him. But this is the miraculous thing of God. We can all be sitting there all at the same time together and not even notice anybody's there but us. Because we all feel like His favorite kid. I love that about God. God is releasing something in the Spirit that has happened Never before. Your encounters with the Lord are going to increase in timeliness, in the amount of time you spend with Him, in intensity. They're going to increase in duration, meaning that the effects of your quiet time are going to last longer throughout your day. Till all of a sudden, people are going to wonder, what did you do? Have you changed your hair? Did you get an inheritance? Where's the wrinkles? Where's the stress? Where's the concern? They're going to start seeing it on you. And in the weeks and months ahead, the intensity of the intimacy that you spend with God is going to start prevailing over life's circumstances in your world. And don't be surprised if some of you start glowing. It's not toxic stuff. It's that the light of the world has invaded you. And you're just going to start oozing His presence. The intimacy of our time with God is going to fill the needs in our hearts for Him to such an overflowing that literally the people around you could live on the overflow of what's coming through you. And you won't have to say a thing. You won't have to do anything but love God and spend time with Him, and it'll just start oozing out you. And the changes that He's asking you to make in your life will be byproduct of intimate relationship with Him. It will just happen. I was with some women last month who were having a real hard time with their personal weight. And it wasn't that their diets were poor or their lifestyles were poor. It was that they were so stressed out and so burdened and so weary and so broken that they just couldn't get beyond the pressure in their lives. And as I spent time with them, I looked at them finally and I said, I gotta say, the healing that God has initiated here is going to turn you into an amazing shrinking woman. And I said it to each one of them. And the next morning, I kid you not, one of the ladies stood up and her face was already 5 pounds lighter. And she put on the same jacket that she'd had on the day before and it was hanging off her. And I started laughing the minute she got up that morning. I just started laughing. She's like, what? I said, you need to go look at your face. And she said, what? And I said to another lady, look at her. And she went, oh, my gosh, your face is completely different. And she went in and she looked in the mirror and she went, what happened? And I said, it started falling off. All the debris that was in your life through all the hurt and all the stress has started to fall away. And in your life, it was stuck to you like weight. And so there it goes. The debris just is falling off you. And I cautioned her. I said, wherever you go, if you're going to drive the car, if you're going to go out in public, I encourage you to wear drawstring pants. And she said, what? And I said, I'm not kidding. You could take a step and end up naked. You need to wear drawstring pants because it's falling off you. The bondage is falling off you. And it's going to continue until it's all gone. And I encourage you, every place in your life where bondage had, ask the Holy Spirit to fill that place with Himself. And so I think that that is happening here on every level. It's going to change your skin color. Is going to change your body structure. Is going to change your emotional stability. You're going to surprise yourself with the confidence and the assurity that comes out of your mouth. But it's going to come not as we lay hands and pray for you, but as you spend time with God. So think about all the things you don't like and never asked for that have come in and invaded your life. And you can make a list if you want. But think about them and think about what you look like when they're not here. Think about fear of failure. Think about lack of finances. Think about lack of direction. Think about fear of what people think. Think about fear of making a mistake, because so many of you are so perfectionist-oriented. Oh my gosh, it gives me a headache. It's perfected as you walk it out. It doesn't have to be perfect for you to start. Think about all the things that have stopped you, and then think about what you look like without it. Think about what it feels like to breathe with absolute liberty. And you're going to have to practice not caring about what people think. And you're going to have to practice keeping some secrets for yourself until they're mature. Okay? So I want you to have the fullness of God in you. Do we understand fullness? I don't think so, or I wouldn't have asked the question. I want you to get comfortable either sitting or standing, but with your lungs able. So you either have to sit up straight, or you have to stand up straight, or sit on the edge of your chair. And I have to talk it through, and we'll do it at least twice, and the second time I'll do it with you. But I want you to take a breath. Take a breath in and hold it. Don't let it out. Breathe a little more. Hold it. Don't let it out. Breathe a little more. Hold it and don't let it out. Breathe a little more. Feel like you're going to explode. Hold it. Don't let it out. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Now let it out. That's the beginning of full. And when I want God to invade somebody's life to the fullness of his ability, that's the beginning of what it might feel like in every area of your life. You have this really dazed look on your faces. Let's do it again. I'll do it with you. Fill your lungs. Hold it. Don't let it out. More air. Don't let it go. More. Getting a little dizzy in the head. Hold it. A little bit more. A little bit more. Okay. That's the beginning of fullness. Now, do you want to know what happens if you do that with your lungs on a regular basis? You actually increase your capacity to take in oxygen. And with each practice of that, you can breathe more. Watch this. Watch. This is hilarious. Let's do it again. And you can breathe out whenever you want, okay? But just watch this. It's so funny. Breathe in. Hold it. Breathe in. Hold it. Breathe in some more. Hold it. Breathe in some more. Let's hold it. Breathe in some more. Let it go. How much fullness of God can you house? And if we practice where we are when we started that, if we just start where we are and we start breathing in more of God, we can house more of him today than we could yesterday. And if we breathe in a little bit more, we can house more of him than we did before. And if we do it again, and we can house more of him than we did before. And if we're so bold and we do it again, we can house more of him than we did before. And pretty soon, we're able to walk around in a glory that we only heard about before. And it'll be you. And it'll be me, and it'll be us, and it'll be we, and we'll be walking in what God has for us. And there's hundreds of ways to train yourself to walk in the intimacy of God, and it's just practice, 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 practice. Practice walking with him, hearing him, speaking with him, loving him, and everything that has hindered you in the past will disappear. And you won't have to kick it out. God will have ushered it out before you even noticed it left. The greatest thing in the world is when somebody asks you how you are and you just quit thinking, how am I? It doesn't even matter. It never came into the situation. Of course I'm great. God's great. We're walking together. How else would I be? And when somebody says, how are you? And I have that stop in me, and I'm like, and I have to go, oh, how am I? Wow. I haven't got a clue. I must be fine. I think I'm great. Because how am I doesn't even come into the picture anymore. Ha, 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 ha. All the things that tried to snare us in our past, ha, 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 ha. They don't even have a place. Because as you walk in intimacy with the Lord, you just forget about them altogether. It's like they never, ever, ever existed. Before you know it, all the debris is out of your life and you didn't even remember when it left. Because you're spending time with God. Hallelujah. Father, as we spend time with you, in our day-to-day walk, in our moment-to-moment process, in how we hear, how we perceive, and how we walk it out, Lord, show us how to do it with you, in you. Let your love flow through us in such a high degree that it just supersedes anything we thought was love before. Give us your compassion. Give us your merciful intervention. And thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name.